Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack, like, I feel like we're in Groundhog Day here, where every time we talk, this team is just disappointing us. I want to start with you, though, and start with a tweet that you put out earlier today before the debacle of a performance we saw tonight. 3 errors, sloppy baseball, embarrassing play with in a incredibly tight playoff race where at the point where the San Francisco Giants are playing right now, and if they win, the Phillies are out of the playoffs. So you tweeted this earlier today. Do the Phillies deserve to make the playoffs? Not really. Agree 100%. Is an 8-team playoff a joke? Yes. Agree 100%. Here's where we start to diverge. Could the Phillies make in the playoffs sense save Klentak's job? Probably. But damn it, it's been 9 years since they've made the playoffs. Get me to the playoffs this week at Phillies. Here's what I want to ask you to start this podcast. After tonight's performance, are you finally on my side that the playoffs are not worth it? Matt Klentak has to go. No playoffs. I'm out, man.
No, I am not. They're good. Listen, he's going to be gone regardless. I don't care.
Well, that's like, what matters, man.
As long
fire Matt Klentak.
Yeah, I mean, I am obviously very, 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 very on the Matt Klentak needs to be fired ASAP. And really, I can't wait until he's fired. And I know that sounds bad, and I know, like, you know, there's a lot of people that were saying that about Gabe, like, oh, I can't wait till he gets fired and all that. And it was like, well, relax. It's a guy's job. But, like, I legitimately can't wait. Like, just because when they fire him, I'm finally going to feel like there's some hope back in this organization, which I haven't felt for a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I really want the Phillies to make the playoffs. Like, it's important, regardless of Klentak and whatnot. Like, just get in the playoffs and let's get some big time reps here.
But I, like, hold on, real quick. I want to push back on that real quick because
there's no,
like,
pushing back.
There is, because, like, first and foremost, this team will be limping into the playoffs. Probably no Rhys Hoskins. You know, no Jake, Spencer Howard, all that type of stuff, if that matters.
Oh, no, no,
they're
Jake.
They're most likely going to have to pitch Wheeler and Nola this weekend just to make the playoffs. We're talking about, like, Eflin in a bullpen game in 1 and 2. Like, what are we talking about? Like, come on, though. No, what do you mean no? Like, I don't know.
Because,
like,
it wouldn't be Eflin, because the series didn't start till Wednesday. It wouldn't be Eflin in a bullpen game. It would be Eflin and whoever starts, you know, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not a bullpen game. I mean,
I hope you're right. Look, it's Regardless, I don't know. Look, would I like to see the Phillies? Again, this also just feels like a sham of a playoffs and a sham of a season and all that. But would I like to see the Phillies play in the playoffs? Of course. But not it. Look, if you can tell me that Matt Klintak's gone no matter what, and we'll talk about what Cam Rosenthal had to say at some point, because I do have the quote there, which implied that, you know, losing the first round of the playoffs probably wouldn't be enough. But I just need him gone, man. It's like you said, like, again, what's the point of any moderate, ultimately meaningless short-term glory or whatever? And again, I do think reps are important, but we're talking about a weird year with, like, I don't know. I don't know if those reps are the same as other years, regardless.
I mean, they're not, but, like, come on, man. It's been so long. Like,
I know, but is this even the way you want to make the playoffs?
No, like, obviously it's not the way I want to make the playoffs, but it's here. Like, it's literally just
look,
win.
I get it, man.
Just win three games this week or four games and you're in. Like, and you have two teams that aren't even trying at this point.
Look, I can't let myself get invested. That's the problem. They win three on in a 2-day span, and you're jumping back in, and I can't do that. Like, this team has broken our hearts all season long. Like, look, I can't watch a game and root against them. So ultimately, like, I'm rooting for them to make the playoffs in that way. But I need Matt Klintak gone. Like, the future of the franchise is literally in peril while that guy is steering the ship, and it's setting us further and further back in the long run, especially when we're in this situation where now in the short run, we're not a great roster. This is not an awesome roster, and there's not a lot of help on the way.
I mean, I hear you, but again, if they had a semblance of a competent bullpen, we're not talking about this, because they would be definitively in the playoffs. Like, you can say the roster isn't as good as you think, and sure, that's fine. But again, if they had a competent bullpen, they're not as bad as you think either.
Yeah.
Like they're disappointing, and when they do the things that they do tonight, it's even more maddening. And when I sit down and watch a Phillies game, it's like getting just punched in the face repeatedly over and over and over again.
It's just not fun.
But I just keep getting back up. You know, it's not about how many times you can get hit. It's about how many times.
I wish the Phillies were as resilient as you are, Jack.
Yeah, whatever. It should, they're the best and the worst.
They should be holding you up as a model. There should be a picture of Jack Fritz saying, "We'll get him tomorrow," in the locker room for this, so they can see it every day. Well, and be like, "Jack believes in us." You know what, guys? At least Jack believes in us.
Not when they play as like did anyone tell them that if they win four, like, do they think they're in the playoffs already? Like, I mean, before the game, they have freaking Girardi and Klintak out there talking about setting the playoff rotation. It's like, hey, how about we get in first before we start worrying about the freaking playoff rotation? Like, and then they come out tonight. It's flat. It's dreadful. Wheeler starts off slow. Like, Roman Quinn gets thrown. And, like, Roman Quinn sucks. Like, I have no interest in Roman Quinn as anything other than like a late inning weapon, but like, holy smokes, like,
and it hamstrings your team just as a you having to use a bench guy, like, it, yeah. But, you know,
well, it's
again,
ridiculous.
We
like,
saw
what are you
it late in the game
for?
With Moniak in left field making, I mean, just a all time horrendous throw. But
I saw enough horrendous throws on Sunday, so I don't the Moniak thing is nothing to me.
I mean, tonight was a really rough performance. Like,
well, and
I was somewhat enthused after winning 3 of 4 from the Blue Jays, and tonight just sucked it all away.
I mean, I don't blame you. It's just like they do it all the time, you know? I mean, they do it all the time. Whenever we show any semblance of like, all right, here we go. It's like, oh, well, we're just going to go out and throw out a stinker against a team that doesn't even want to be here anymore. It's just whatever.
A team that's done. They're done.
Then that's what's so frustrating about that. I think that's the most frustrating part about the Girardi experience. You know, obviously he doesn't have the horses you would usually want in a major league bullpen or even a triple A bullpen. But like the still not looking like they give a crap about being there, not really grinding out at bats. I mean, I swear Nappy's the only one that grinds out at bats on a consistent basis.
So it's funny. We'll get to, at some point later, I have two good things that I want to talk about, and you may have just talked about one of them.
Listen, all he does is put together professional at-bats, but...
I love the guy, always have. I've never said a bad word about him. Knapp is my dude.
Yeah, well, especially, I mean, you're going to have to get used to him after...
I know, dude. How about the fact that JT hasn't played in 11 straight games? Like, we've barely talked about it. Like, JT hasn't played in 11... we had him for 60 games in the potentially... what's looking like maybe his last season in Philadelphia, and 11 straight games he's just out. That's like over a sixth of the season, just like washed away. They traded Sixto for a year and potentially 40-something games, like 45 games, 48 games of JT. Like, are you bleeping kidding me, Jack? I know we don't curse on this podcast, but I thought about it there, and I said bleeping for you. But I really want to curse. Like, it sucks. And real quick, you know, we're talking about this. Can I just really quickly, and I know you've heard it, but for the listeners and potentially who has not heard it, the quote that Matt Klentak gave today when asked about by Jim Salisbury, had two good questions. This was his follow-up to the first one, asked about job security and a, you know, BS answer, you know, kind of deflecting. And then Jim follows up asking if the Sixto's success puts more pressure on signing, you know, them signing JT. And Klentak says, look, what I've said all along, we would love to have JT here. But when you make that trade, you're trading for 2 years of control. And you know that. Sixto looked really good against us. He's looked good this year. But we've had two very productive years of JT as well. Jack Fritz, the floor is yours.
Oh, well, thank God we got those 2 years of JT Realmuto. I mean, it's so worth it. No, but he, like, I don't know. Everyone was melting down about those quotes. And like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of what I expect the GM to say. You know, like, what is he supposed to say? Like, man, have you guys seen Sixto? Like, you know, I don't know. Like, he's not going to come out and say, oh, man, we have to do everything in our power to re-sign JT Realmuto. Like, it's negotiations. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying to hear him say, well, we did get 2 years of productive JT, and that was worth trading the next Pedro.
Again, I know what you're saying, and, like, GMC is fine, but, like, screw this guy.
Okay, well, like, yeah, I say screw him too. But what do you want? What would your answer to that question have been?
Okay, if I'm Matt Klentak, my answer is that something. And look, I don't have the exact wording, but something to the effect of, we want JT to be here for a long time. Like, I'm focusing more on, we want him to be here for a long time. You know, we plan on making him an offer, whatever you want to say in that direction, instead of saying, well, we had two good years.
Well,
that was fun.
He's said that a couple times. I don't know.
I know. It's
not the best time for it because, you know, we're like, what, four a week away from the end of the season, and then you might not leave the playoffs, and JT will be a free agent, and everything's fine.
And again, that's your point. Like, that, you said it before, and it's them talking about the playoff rotation. It's them talking about getting productive years from JT when you might not make the playoffs. How is trading Sixto for JT for, if JT leaves, you get 2 years of JT and you don't make the playoffs in either of them, and one of them, they're eight friggin' playoff teams, Jack? Like, that's a disastrous trade. That's the definition of a disastrous trade if that's the way it plays.
Well, at least they didn't almost trade him for a closer.
Oh, God. Well, screw it. Let's just talk about that, because Ken Rosenthal, in his article, talking about GMs, and we will get to some good news from Rosenthal in terms of the Klentak thing, but he talked about how essentially that the Mariners had their choice of whether they wanted to trade Edwin Diaz for Jared Kelenic, who's a great prospect, the top, you know, 10-ish prospect in baseball from the Mets, or for Sixto Sanchez. And they chose Kelenic But, like, the implication being that Matt Klentak was willing to give up Sixto for a closer, Jack. A closer.
This guy.
Get him away from my team.
This guy.
Get him away. Stop letting him control anything. I honestly want them to put a freeze on moves. I don't want them to allow to do anything. Like, I know there is a freeze on moves right now at this point, you know, where we're at. But, like, don't let him change the art in a office in the building. Like, don't let him make a single decision until he's out the door.
The guy was itching to trade the next Pedro for a closer.
Oh,
a closer. This guy. Nothing wrong. Everything's fine. Yeah.
He's a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like I just... again, can't wait for him to be gone. The only thing that concerns me, and I try not to think about it a lot because it sends me to a deep place. If John... I beg of you, if you replace Matt Klentak with Dave Dombrowski, there will be riots in the streets. I have no interest in Dave Dombrowski. Like, just this is the biggest thing I'm afraid of is
I don't even know if Dombrowski would probably take any job.
He wouldn't.
Like, if Dombrowski comes here, we don't have the assets to Dombrowski likes
I
to
know,
come into
I
a
know.
Place that has prospects that he can
I
trade.
Know,
you
I know? Know, but. Honestly, like, the thing that really scares me is I worry about a John Middleton overcorrection to the Klentak thing and being like, I don't want a Dartmouth.
I want a baseball guy, like an old school baseball guy.
Super.
Like, yes,
great.
Yes,
love that idea. Let's just.
What's Dave Stewart up to?
Yeah. Let's.
Can we get Dave Stewart back?
Let's do something stupid like that. So hopefully.
I could totally see that. That would not shock me in the least.
I know. So for as excited as I am for Matt Klentak's era, hopefully coming to an end. And I say hopefully because I think maybe it was Gelb this week or something. His contract is like going through 2022. And it terrifies me, the idea of Middleton just not wanting to pay two GMs at the same time. And
well, we've never known John Middleton to be cheap in any arena or any sense.
Oh, well,
so.
especially now that he's apparently losing $145 million, which we're not even sure how true that is. That could just be him.
I don't believe a word any of those owners said about any of the losses. Honestly, not a word. If they were honest about that, they would have opened their books to the players. They didn't. So, like, they're clearly lying. But to the point, let's hope that the counter is true, because to Gelb's point there, we just mentioned it, but Rosenthal, this is what Rosenthal said in his piece about hot GMs on the hot seat. He said, the Phillies rank 7th in payroll, yet for the second straight season are hovering around 500. Actually, they're at 500 right now, Kev. Thank you, Keith. Despite fielding rosters that included catcher JT Romito, right fielder Bryce Harper, and right-hander Aaron Nola, a deep run in the postseason might save Klentak, but how would that even be possible when the team's bullpen is the worst in the majors? I agree that there is no chance for a deep run because of the bullpen, but does that make you feel any better? Do you think, like, let's be real here. Let's talk about live in your hopeful world that they make the playoffs, which again is certainly possible, though they are doing everything they can.
Dude, you are such a liar. You are such a liar. We never lie to the High Hopes listeners, and I want you to stop lying right now.
I told you as I watch the games, I want them to win. So ultimately, I want them
if
to
it's,
win the playoffs. But I'm telling you, if you. And again, we don't know.
All right.
Of course, I would love to have my cake and eat it too, and have them get in the first round and lose to the Dodgers or whatever, get to watch Phillies playoff baseball because that's fun. And Klentak goes. But if you're saying to me, I have to make a hypothetical choice of I get to have the Phillies make the playoffs this year or Klentak goes, and I can't have both. I want Klentak gone more than I want them to make the playoffs, and it's not close.
And,
that's my point.
And believe me, I totally agree. But you're telling me that next Wednesday we gotta face the Padres. We got
the Padres. How are we getting up to the five seed?
You never know. This team can go on a run. We got one more run in us. Honestly, I don't think so. I don't want them to get the five seed. Like, I want them to get the seven seed and face the Cubs. But Jake Arrieta revenge game one. I mean, does that sound appetizing to you or no? It is not at all. Not at all. You actually cringed when you heard that idea because you knew that, like, maybe big game Girardi was thinking about it.
All right. Well, let's live it real quick. I want to ask you that same hypothetical, but a different hypothetical, same type of hypothetical, but different slightly in that, let's say they make the playoffs and they lose to the Cubs or they lose to the Braves or they lose to the Dodgers or whatever in the first round. Is Matt Klentak fired?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's not changing. I guess for me, that's not changing the fact that it's those. I think it's still the second worst bullpen in the history of baseball, a sport that's been around since 1860. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, at some point, you gotta just laugh. I mean, like, seriously, is it?
I think 1883 is the first year.
So. In your lifetime, have you ever been more sure that runs were getting put on the board than when Heath Embry enters into a ball game?
Oh, dude, honestly, so I'll just get out of the way. When I was going to give you my two good things later, I was going to make a joke after and say I couldn't feel good about putting someone being hurt in my good section, but I'm so happy that guy is not pitching. Like, get out of here. I hate him. I hate watching him pitch. He's worse than everyone. It's unbelievable. It's an honor in a way, a dubious, horrible honor, but an honor to be the worst pitcher in the Phillies bullpen. And I think that Heath Embry is and was the worst pitcher in the Phillies bullpen.
Listen, we're
not including some of the guys who, like, were there for a couple outs early on.
Worse, just say it with me. Worse than Pivetta. Just
worse than Pivetta.
Was he not worse than Pivetta? I mean, seriously.
He was.
At least Pivetta gave you a shot, you know?
Yeah.
This guy's 91, and boy, you know, Joe G sure loves guys with some kind of track record, doesn't he? I mean,
oh my god, it's brutal. Like, again, this is what I was talking about last time with Workman, and it's the same thing with Hembry and Workman and all these guys. Like, it's like, all right, we get it. Like, these guys suck. Give me more Connor Brogdon. Like, give me more, like, you know, young guys, whatever. This sucks.
Yeah, well, actually, I mean for any kind of silver lining, I guess you can take, like, Brogdon's come back up and looked pretty good.
Yeah, he's been looked very good. I've been impressed with Brogdon.
The fact that he's up to, 95 to 97 with really, really good feel for a changeup. You know, I mean, our next Madsen's starting to develop really well.
Our next Madsen.
And, I mean, JoJo's just such a...
If only. From your lips to God's ears, Jack.
Everything's going to be fine. Honestly...
I'll take a next Chad Durbin at this point.
Yeah, he actually does have similar mechanics to Chad Durbin. I like that comp. They've actually invested in the draft in some bullpen pieces the last couple of years. So, for example, I saw today that Carson Ragsdale jumped into their top 30 of prospects after Boehm graduated. I think Boehm graduated. And I just think that guy's going to be a stud out of the pen, Mini Betances. So I'm excited for him. They've drafted some interesting arms in the last couple of years, and I'm excited
Mini
for
Betances.
And speaking of Alec, I don't know if you're going to get to this later, so I'm sorry for sabotaging this, but, like, Alec Boehm graduating officially in the Rookie of the Year hunt. You know, I think Jay Cronenworth is really good. But I mean, I think too many people are writing off Alec Boehm's chances of winning this thing. I mean, he had either the first or the second most hits in the National League this month. He batted over 400. I mean,
he's batting like 330 something on the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's had big hits, big moments, and
he's batting third in the lineup right now.
It's great.
As well as should be.
It's amazing. It's glorious.
Yes, that was my other thing.
Nice. I love taking everything that you planned before this podcast in the middle of it.
I was going to try my two good things were Alec Boehm like as a real thing, like as a real, like we always talk about here, but it's just every game you watch, it just gets confirmed that we're going to be watching this guy get big hits, hopefully for the next decade here or more. Like he's freaking awesome. And Naffy, man, I love Andrew Knapp. I am so like, he's like a top three, one up in a big spot guy for me right now.
Oh, what like, a nightmare.
Well, I mean, Andrew Knapp, at least I know I'm going to get a bat from him. At least I know he's going to do whatever it takes to get on base or poke a ball somewhere or whatever. I mean, he is good at bats. I mean, and to the point of like Romuto being out for 11 straight games, like Knapp has stepped in and like, you know, it hasn't just been a mirage of small playing time. Like, he's still batting like 310 or something. Like, he's doing great. Love that. Love, love, love that guy. Love him. Who needs JT? We got Andrew Knapp.
Don't say that too loud. Klentak might get an idea. I mean, you know, he seriously might. But, and you have
oh, my God. What? They're going to let JT
no,
walk.
They're not.
I've been very confident that he would be back here just because he means more to the Phillies than anyone. I've said this to you many times. But, like, man, I this just all is starting to feel like the Phillies don't know what they're doing and that someone like Steve Cohen's going to swoop in and just, you know, outflank them.
So I still think he's going to be here. But
I do too. Like, again, I wouldn't bet. I would still, if I had to bet on a team, it would be the Phillies, but I don't know, man. I'm just losing faith in this organization.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, I get it. It's just JT, them letting JT walk.
Catastrophic.
Well, that and like it would just, you know, I just get beaten down by all the like older generation of people that like love to just harp on negative Phillies all the time. And like, listen, I get being negative on the Phillies. There's just some people are negative all the time on the Phillies, but like this would letting JT Realmuto walk would age me like 20 years. Like, honestly, like I would go from a 26 year old with a lot of hope and, you know, I've been running almost every day, so could be in great shape soon. You know, just filled with hopes and dreams. And
dude, I mean, if you're gonna let JT walk, you may as well try and trade Harper and rebuild. I mean, right?
Well, unless you like are gonna go sign like George Springer or something.
And even then, like, yes, George Springer. But does George Springer make the same type of impact for this team as Romuto? I don't think so.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. I mean, a better bat, but. I mean, look, maybe you can go out and sign. You have to. I mean, Middleton would have to, you know, I don't know, spend a bunch of money to make this team relevant.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's bad. They've put themselves in a bad spot. And I agree. If you sign JT, look, we've talked about it. If you sign JT and build a competent bullpen, then all of a sudden, you know, if you have a season of some health and you don't keep losing guys and all that, like, you could be in a nice spot because, again, this offense can rake. And like you've said, like, I don't think they're like way far away. This group of guys, this, you know, outside of the, again, historically bad bullpen, they're not that far off. It's just that the problem is until Matt Klentak is gone and until John Middleton is, you know, not so involved, and who knows if that's ever going to happen, but it just feels like rudderless. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And honestly, like just fall in line with everyone else in the city. I mean, it's like no one really feels like they have like the weird part about the Phillies is that like I agree they're rudderless, but they're the one team that can kind of spend their way out of it, you know. And it just if you can just develop, and I know it's such a big ask, you know, asking a team to draft and develop guys, but like, I know it sounds like,
yeah, it's really asking a lot for them to do what they're supposed to do. Well,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree, Jack.
Yeah. But like, if you can draft and develop, and like, there's studs all over the draft. If you can just freaking sign JT, I would love to re-sign Didi. I don't know how. Here's the thing. I want to re-sign Didi. I get it. But if you re-sign JT, you probably want to re-sign one more starter And I don't know, James, like a whole new bullpen.
Well, that's the thing is like Middleton's got to be willing to go deep into the tax.
Like, listen, if you didn't want to go over this year, I guess it's fine. I
only if you're gonna like go over, yeah, like now.
I feel like maybe
not even just that first round, like the $40 million over, like go deep into the tax, pay the $10 million fine or whatever pocket change it is for you. Like, oh my god, I Jack, it's a travesty.
honestly, and I don't want to reveal my whole offseason plan, but I came up with the first thing I would do. And I feel like I'll just get it out of the way now. Like, there's no salary cap on front office moves. Go send a blank check to Eric Neander and let him, yep, and let him be your president, yep, and let him be, give him the Friedman role. I mean, Friedman, this is the exact situation that Andrew Friedman was in. And it was go to a big market team and become their president and president and GM and whatnot. And, you know, I kind of flow this idea by a couple of people, and they're like, well, why did he take the Phillies job? And, you know, I'm sure he's been offered this kind of position before. But my counter to that was, what was the big market team that has the payroll the Phillies have, the resources the Phillies had, that has really been available? And the one that came to mind for me was the Red Sox. But here's the thing. If you're taking over the Red Sox, you're taking over a team that was shedding payroll, that you had to trade Mookie Betts the second you got there, and you were entering into a rebuild. What's another big market team that has the payroll the Phillies had, that had the, you know, the makings of a core that was ready to be taken over and taken to the next level? Like, it just hasn't really come up.
Well, and I would add to your point, you know, the way you get that, like, to the people who ask, why would Neander come here? Just give him a butt ton of money. Like, give him as much money as it takes to get him to come here. Like Jack just said, there is no cap on it. So say, all right, Eric, what is your price? What do you need to come here and give him that? That's how.
Right. And I just think that if you really want to win, it's not about spending money. And I know a lot of people like to say it's about spending money. If you really, really want to win, you got to get the right guy in the GM position that can draft, develop, and know what he's looking at. Like, that's the only way you're really, really, really going to win. And that's what all the great teams in baseball have. They're not going out and buying world championships. They're not. It's all been draft, develop, smart trades, finding steals, you know, like a Max Muncy signing, you know, like things like that, that have gotten these teams over the hump. Eric Neander, their payroll every year is what, $100 million at the most?
Less a lot of year. I mean, the point is, it's 30th. It's last every single year.
Yeah, yeah. And imagine giving that guy the Phillies payroll. So the only thing I want them to do is just say, whatever it takes, come here and just do what you did with the Rays. Like, that's the only way this team is going to consistently win. And then after that, you know, I mean, we'll find another GM candidate. There's some really, really interesting ones. But like, John, just step up, blank check, whatever it takes, go get Eric Neander. Like, that's the guy. I mean, if you want to put on your big boy pants and try to compete at a high level for a long time, go get the guy that's built the team that has the most wins in baseball with the least highest payroll in baseball consistently too. It's not just a 1 year aberration. That's how you're going to consistently win. I mean, that's like, for as excited as we were about Bryce and, you know, Girardi and all these like on the field moves, I mean, Eric Neander would be bigger than all of them. Not even close.
Like, it's not even, it's like light years.
Right. And I know I'm saying that like I'm stating the obvious, but it's literally that important. Like, Eric Neander is the only thing that matters. Go do whatever it takes to get him here. Do whatever it takes. And as I'm sure the High Hopes listeners know, when we as a podcast go all in, we go all in. And this is not stopping anytime soon. Every time you tune in to a new High Hopes episode, it is going to be two things. It is going to be fire Matt Klentak, and yes. send a blank check to Eric Neander.
Yes. Cosign. Jack didn't even run this by me. I'm all in on it. It's the best idea I've heard. Just go get the guy. Go get the guy who's already doing it. The guy who's showing you do it with so much less money. And again, we saw what happened with Friedman. It's a perfect comp. Like, he left there. He went to the Dodgers. And now, oh, look at what the Dodgers are. Look at what they do every year. They're just a freaking powerhouse. Because not only is Andrew Friedman still doing the really smart things that he did with the Rays, like Jack said, the drafting, the developing, the smart trades, the finding market inefficiencies, all that type of stuff. But he's doing it with, you know, 8 times the payroll he used to have, 10 times whatever, you know, all this different stuff. Like, so it's, or maybe not quite that, but you know what I mean? Like, it's 4 times the payroll he used to have. Like, all this, it's ridiculous. So go get Eric Neander. That makes all the sense. Official High Hopes position. Fire Matt Klentak. Hire Eric Neander. Obviously, the first one is most important, and that needs to happen. Then we'll worry about the sec, but I'm very with you, Jack. I can't believe that. And look, that's very firm. I think we've laid out our position there, and I think I'm sure people, if people are still listening, and if you are, we love you. Thank you. After us, you know, kind of yet again bitching about Matt Klentak, because I hate him and want him gone. And you hit on it. It's so important. It's the most important thing in the franchise. But I want to talk about something else and have a little fun, because I can't believe we're 34 minutes into the pod. I thought this pod might be half Matt Klentak, half Bryce Harper for you.
Oh, what am I upset with Bryce?
A little bit.
Yeah. Honestly, I've never been so upset with Bryce than the stunt that he's pulled the last 2 days. And for those of you that were watching the sham of an Eagles game yesterday and were not locked in on the Phillies, it was the seventh inning, and they had the bases loaded, I think, one out, no outs, and Bryce struck out instead of doing a job and trying to make it a little bit of a tighter ball game and all that good stuff. And the second he gets off the field, he just goes to Girardi and says, like, tweak something, I'm out, or whatever. And packs up his whole entire bag and walks to the clubhouse and just leaves his team hanging. And then in the ninth inning, comes up with a runner on, and it would have been nice to have Bryce Harper there to, you know, step up for the team and whatnot. And I just think it's a total embarrassment to the sport what Bryce did. This is like, whether or not you believe this is a playoff run or whatever, it's technically a playoff run, and this team needed Bryce to be there. And either you're so hurt that you can't hit and you can't be in the field and you're done, or get out there and play. Like, get out there and play. It is your job. You out there is better than anyone else on the team for the most part. Like, you cannot just tap out of a play basically a playoff game in a playoff stretch because of a little tweak, and then be back in the lineup tonight and be terrible again. Like, Either you're hurt and you can't play and you're going to hurt the team that way, or get out there and play. But to pull yourself from a game because you struck out with the bases loaded is totally embarrassing. It is totally embarrassing. It is not Philly, and he is lucky. He is lucky that the Eagles lost yesterday, because he would be getting torched for what he did. Because that was one of the most embarrassing acts I've seen from a Phillies player in my entire life. And I have not gotten over it. And honestly, I can't believe more people aren't worked up about it. Like, it was, for as close as we've been to a must win or a playoff game or whatnot, all of these games matter. And to make that moment about you drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. This is, all these games matter. All these games matter. And it just looked like he had struck out in a big moment. He was embarrassed, and he's going to take his ball and go home. And I was very, very disappointed in Bryce, and I am still disappointed in Bryce. And it's going to take me a little while to get over this one.
Yeah, look, especially when you're the leader of the team, especially when JT Romito's not out there. Like, I mean, like, those guys are looking at you. You know, you're the dude, man. You're the guy. They're looking at you. And I think if, you know, if people haven't seen it, there's a GIF going around of Joe Girardi's reaction when Harper told him he was done. And Girardi's like, basically like, what the bleep are you, like, what? Like, what is happening? Like, you could just see the shock and surprise in Girardi's face. It's disappointing. And again, I think, look, we've talked about it here on this pod, you know, that there have been times over this stretch, and granted, he got a little hot the last week, you know, or so. He's kind of turning it around a little bit and all that. But, you know, obviously that, like, month-long or whatever, just disastrous cold stretch he had, like, he was starting to show bad body language, starting to, you know, we talked about him not running that ball out to first and, like, things that we haven't seen since he's been here. You know, that's the one thing is even people who were critical of his first half last year, this or that or whatever, like no one could say a bad word about his effort, about his attitude, about his defense, about his concentration, his focus, all these types of things, you know. And this year we've seen kind of for the first time some of those examples of the other side of Bryce Harper a little bit, you know.
Yeah. And it just seems, and the thing that frustrates me the most is that it feels like he's making his struggles all about him, and it's not helping the team. And what we saw last year when he struggled was he was still giving it all and grinding and making great plays on the field and all that. And this year it's like, I'm struggling, I'm pouting, and if I'm not doing well, I don't care if the team does well. Like, he's making it all about Bryce this year, which is not something that I think constitutes towards, you know, long-term winning. And because it needs to be about the team. It needs to be about the Phillies. And it can't just be about Bryce having a big year and the Phillies being good. If the Phillies are good and Bryce doesn't have a big year, like, so what? I mean, the Phillies are good, so that's all that should matter. So it was just disappointing. And then tonight he goes out again and is terrible and strikes out a couple times in some key moments. And again, it just looks like he's doing a lot of woe is me. And it's just, pulling yourself from a game with an injury, like not a super serious injury that could cause you to miss a couple days, in the seventh inning of a game where you might need you in the ninth, just didn't sit well with me. Just did not sit well with me at all.
Yeah. All right. Before we get to your note bag, last thing for me, and maybe this was in your note bag, but again, for a lot of people who didn't get to watch the game for, you know, another horrible game, how Medina look to you?
So Medina is going to be a guy that like, he just needs to use his legs more. He's very stationary and stiff, and I feel like there's a lot more in there for him, because the arm has it's pretty good arm action. I was expecting more like 95, not 92. The curveball I thought was pretty wicked. I think he has a good feel for a changeup, but if he wants to ever reach real levels in Major League Baseball, I mean, he's got to learn to use his legs more. It's very just kind of arm and stuff like that. So I just I saw some things I liked. I thought his command got a lot better as the game went on. But until he really shows that he can become more explosive with his bottom half, I can't really fully buy into him. But you know, I mean, there's some legitimate stuff there, and it's crazy. Like, 3 years ago, he was ahead of Sixto on the prospect countdown and stuff.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah, and he's kind of, his growth just has not progressed, and I just, the frustrating thing with him is that you see like Ramon Rosso and you see Jojo Romero going to use the driveline guys out in Seattle and using the resources the Phillies have, and they've both taken like all, both of their stuff has just gone to a different level. Brogdon, same kind of thing. I mean, he was not 96 a year ago, so I feel like if Medina kind of bought into what they are preaching in the minor league system when from a pitching philosophy standpoint, there could be a mid-rotation starter there. But until he really uses his legs and becomes more explosive and gets the ball to jump out of his hands, I'm not there yet. But it was he showed some stuff, and I thought his command got decent as the game went on. But that's the crazy thing. It's like we're starting Adonis Medina in the week before the playoffs start, and where you haven't even clinched a spot. Like, man, they've been
ravaged.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's brutal.
And we talked about it. Like, they actually had a lot of injury luck early in the season, and I thought Joe Girardi deserved some credit for, you know, kind of not pitching starters too deep and all that. But I mean, they're just getting killed right now, and it's just what it is. But I mean, Howard, Arrieta, Hoskins, I mean, whatever's going on with Harper, if he is hurt or not. Realmuto, 11 straight games are Realmuto. I don't think we've kind of made a big enough deal about that. Like, they're in a playoff push, and Realmuto's just been out 11 straight games. All right, what do you got in your note bag, Jack?
All right, let's see what we got here. Has this season felt way longer than 60 games?
Oh, my God. It's felt like 100. It's felt like a normal season just because of this bullpen. And every night you feel like you're watching two games, like the first game before the bullpen and then the after game, which is the crap one with the bullpen. It's been mentally draining this season.
Yeah, I mean.
And then also a lot of days where we have like a lot of doubleheaders, yeah. A lot of like days in a row with baseball, you know, it's just been like a lot.
Yeah, and it's been like I don't know, it feels like they fit 162 of pain into 60 games.
Oh, buddy, did that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It's only really been 53 games ish.
Well, they're 27 and 27, so 54 games.
I mean, it feels like they've played at least 100.
Oh, big time, buddy. Big time.
At least 100.
It doesn't seem possible to have this many gut punch, horrible losses in this few amount of games.
And I'm just glad the record books are going to show that they have the second worst bullpen ever in a shortened season. At least it wasn't a full season, right? You know, at least it wasn't.
Yeah, because it seems like it would get a lot better over 162. Well,
they're just finding their stride. I mean,
you could argue it would get worse as these guys wear down and injuries, and it might be worse.
Yeah, don't let the Phils get hot.
no one is. Don't worry.
You don't. All I'm saying is you don't want to see this team in the postseason. You got Wheeler, Nola, Big Game F, and then that lineup.
Big Game F. I like that.
And that lineup. Listen, if that fraud James Shields can have a big game nickname, I think anyone can have a big game.
Yeah,
nickname.
It's fair. I think it's very fair.
Who
I shall now go by Big Game James on this podcast.
Who was James Shields traded for?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Who is single-handedly tanking my fantasy baseball season. If Fernando Tatis could figure it out a little bit and get back to the guy that was the NL MVP for most of the season, that'd be great. But
wow, yeah. Complaining about
I know.
Fernando Tatis. What a first world problem that is. Fernando Tatis, who has been an MVP candidate for most of the season, you're actually ripping him. You should be grateful to that guy for everything he's given you.
Hey,
you are such a fickle fantasy owner, Jack.
Hey, it's a what have you done for me lately league.
Yeah,
I don't even enjoy owning Trout because it's like oh, it's a 1-for-4 at the homer tonight. Sweet, cool, whatever.
Wow, these are, yeah, I like that you saved the sweet fantasy baseball takes for the end of the pod here. This is good.
Yeah, well, I honestly might be the best. I might, no one finds better pitching talent than I do in fantasy baseball. If anyone ever,
I have one buddy who I would put you up against.
No, you wouldn't. Okay. No, you wouldn't. I drafted Nelson Lament this year. I picked Corbin Burns up first, second off the waiver wire. I mean, come on. Let's. This is the big league, son. I mean, I don't. Really? No disrespect to your friend, but all I do is win fantasy baseball championships.
You gotta let the big dog.
Exactly.
That's what I always say.
Can freaking Scott Kingery throw the ball from second base to first base?
Oh God, I can't. I can't even, dude.
Kingery's gonna be fine. I hope everyone calms down. He's gonna be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
No, he's gonna be fine. Promise you, he's gonna be fine. There was some stuff going on with his swing that he needed to get corrected, and they're getting him back on the right path with Scotty. Scotty Jetpack's more talent than Dustin Pedroia. I can't believe they're talking about the playoff rotation when they haven't made the playoffs yet. I think we've talked about that enough, but
it's pretty embarrassing.
I would just like to get it out there one more time that a team that has not made the playoffs in 9 years. Who came out with a lifeless performance tonight, spent the whole pregame show talking about their playoff rotation, which is great. Super. I'm glad we're focusing on the important things rather than winning baseball. But that's my baseball team. Yep. And I guess the final thing is, like, I feel like to keep ourselves sane and happy and just for a reason to wake up every morning, even though, again, they might make the playoffs this week, to James's dismay. because James hates playoff baseball. Let that go on the record.
Yes.
Is whoever.
Jack, I'm trying to not be selfish and care about what I want and think about the greater good for our team.
Okay.
All right, pal.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Eric Neander is on his way. But.
Please. Flank check.
I really like.
Can we give him Harper's money? I'm good with that.
Nah. Well, wasn't that one of the hypotheticals? Would you rather have the Rays front office or Bryce Harper?
Yeah, and we said it wasn't even close for us.
But two things, actually. So Moniak obviously came up, friend of the podcast, our guy, Mickey Moniak. And honestly, surprised at how well his at-bats have looked.
Had some good at-bats.
Yeah, I mean, he was not a big walk guy in the minor leagues, but he's worked really hard on pitch recognition, and it seems like it's kind of paying off a little bit. I mean, he hit some balls hard. I mean, had a single tonight, had his first hit, was hit pretty hard. Seems like he's just a tad late on 97, which is understandable. But, you know, overall, I'm interested to see more from Mick, and that's interesting. And then the last thing was, like, Bohm and the situational hitting. Like, what was it, Saturday, where he hits the ball to the right side, and he forces a tough play, and Bryce scores, and they tie the game up and end up winning that game. And, like, that's baseball, you know? It's like there's an open spot in the field, and if you're not going to hit a dinger and drive the ball to the outfield, at least do a job and hit it where they ain't. And that's something that is so impressive about Alec Bohm, and he's just going to drive in a lot of RBI every year because he just hits them where they ain't. And it was a small little piece. It was a small little kind of insignificant moment, but it was a moment that just showed that he's different and he is going to be a force for a long, long time. And sure, the Braves might have had Freddie Freeman for the last decade, but guess what? The 2020s are Alec Bohm's. The 2020s are Alec Bohm's babies, and everything is going to be fine. So I love situational hitting. I love baseball being played by Alec Bohm, and screw it, make the playoffs and still fire Klentak.
Fire Klentak, that is all that matters. And again, Alec Bohm and Andrew Knapp. Let's not forget great Nappy, and don't ever besmirch Andrew. I will never allow it. Never on this podcast where Andrew Knapp's name be said in any sort of vein or taken in any sort of vein, because we love you, Andrew. Yeah, that's where it's at.
And just know that James is rooting against this team every night.
Yes,
and does not want you to watch playoff NOLA.
Fire Eric Neander. Matt Klentak. Fire Matt Klentak. Sign Eric Neander. Make the playoffs. He's Fritz. I'm Seltzer. We'll see you later.